I want there to be a song. I don't know. I feel like there are 1,000 songs that would be appropriate, but they left my head. In my brain, it's like, there's a song from the 80s. She's a maniac.
That was mine, right?
And I'm like,
he's a man.
Yeah, that's the one. I'm sorry, everybody. It's a dated pop culture reference, but it's okay because I'm old.
Jen's favorite. When Jen does them, they're fine.
Well, I'm not a 23-year-old in a romance novel, Sarah, so I have some issues. We all have our pet peeves, everybody. It's okay.
We're doing shifters today because you all have been asking for them for literally years. And here we are. I'm on deadline. You all know how January goes and February. We're just flying by the seat of our pants.
Real wild over here. Yeah.
So it's shifters. But as I said to Jen, it's really about manimals.
Well, and so why don't we introduce the podcast there?
All right.
And then we'll talk about my feelings.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure Eric wants us introducing this podcast.
Fair.
But you are, in fact, listening to Fate of Mates, everyone. I'm Sarah McLean. I read romance novels and I write them.
And I'm Jennifer Prokop, a romance reader and editor. And we like talked about several different things. I feel like this whole episode's just going to be like anything goes because it was like shifters. I was like, okay. And then Sarah's like, what if we do like, you know, like somebody messed with their DNA and that's what caused them to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, right? As part of it. Yeah, like, yeah. I want to like talk about Christine Fien and stuff, too. But I felt, yeah. I've been wanting to talk about this one particular series for a long time. And there's just no logic. There's never going to be a logical interstitial to do that in.
So here we go.
So we're doing it today alongside shifters. So that, but in some case, so today you're getting animals.
I also, listen, I feel like I got a little distracted at the end. I think I'm going to have a little subsection, super soldiers.
Oh, sure. That actually will, that'll tie in because this lady who I'm going to talk about also has a super soldier series.
Okay.
Because I was like, once you start
talking
cyborg.
About them, like, right, somebody messed with them and then that changed them. Then I kind of I bumped into a different lane and drove for a while. And then I had to come back and tell you what I discovered, everybody.
Exactly. You like took the detour to see the world's largest ball of twine or whatever. And now you're back.
I 100%. That's exactly what happened because romance is the best. And that's what happened.
Exactly.
To me.
Any road trip in romance ends with just a lot of other experiences along the way.
Oh, shifters.
Shifters. So let's talk about them because I think part of the reason there's always a lot of discussion about like, oh, Sarah and Jen, why don't you do more paranormal on the podcast? And it is an excellent question because this podcast, everyone, aside from being free, which is why you're all stuck listening to us talk about
whatever
DNA
we want
and animals, is it began as a love letter to Cressley Cole's Immortals After Dark series. By the way, everyone, we know the Monroe episode never released, and the reason why is because the audio files were all messed up. So if you missed that live,
sorry.
We'll touch on it the next time there's a YAD book out, but
there you
we
go.
Have other plans. So
we've moved on, I hate to say it.
Anyway, but Monroe is in fact a shifter, so
it's true.
Here he is.
It's true.
We're doing it. So it was a love letter to Cressley Cole's Immortals After Dark series, which is what Eric refers to as Monster Mash, meaning there are, it's all of, everything's in there. Vampires, demons, dark fae, my personal favorite, werewolves, witches, ghosts, phantoms, gods, primordial beings.
Anything you want.
Mothman is referenced, not C.M. Nascasa's Mothman. That's a different kind of thing. But like, there, it's all there. Anything that exists, exists. So we spent a full calendar year, basically, talking about all of these books and really like going deep.
Yes.
And then I think we just were like, well, we've said now all the things
what else
we,
could we, have
want
to say?
To, we have to say about paranormals. And then we've done deep dives on
Monster Romance
and J.R. Ward. And we sort of we talked about Monster Romance. So we've sort of touched on paranormal over the years, but we've never really analyze, like, we've never done vampires, have we? Or we've never done, because it feels like we were there that one time.
I think part of the reason Shifters, I think, bubbled back up is because after Omegaversity, where I really did straight up through, like, half of the episode still was like, yeah, but they're Shifters, right? And then I was like, oh, I guess not.
I still, today, was like, are we sure? Is there no Omegaverse?
I think there are, but we just don't know.
Yeah, I know.
So I think that's part of why Shifters came back up. And also, I think what's interesting is, with there's been like a bit of a tweak in the Shifter, like a kind of a new Shifter trope, which is the rejected mate trope. And so I feel like there's been some interesting new developments in the land of the Shifter. So I think that's another reason why it's kind of interesting to me.
I think so too. I was thinking today about how, like, the way I think of Shifters is very much like a early aughts kind of like,
yeah,
Shifters as being like gruff alpha, like,
yes,
bros, right?
Which is,
and now,
still what I like, if we're being honest, because I'm garbage.
I mean, sure, trash, but now Shifters have become a little more emotionally open.
Yeah.
I think. So wait, I had not intended this, but I do think that it's worth just talking about the McGreeves for just a moment.
Sure.
Our probably favorite werewolves.
Yours. I'll say yours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I think, like, Gareth McGreeve is pretty great, and I like McGreeve.
I like Gareth McGreeve. Okay, I would agree to that statement.
I'll say it. My favorite werewolves are the McGreeves. Cressley Cole's McGreeves. You meet them early in Immortals After Dark. Bowen McGreeve.
He's a dick.
Fine. He's like, as Adriana likes to say, a big fuck boy, but.
Yeah.
And he is. He's a jerk to his heroine for a long time.
Yeah.
So the Bowen McGreeve, I don't remember the titles of any of these books, but we'll put them in the photo array. On the main page of the website, Bowen McGreeve is where it's like a big road trip romance. It's a quest.
Yeah.
It's part of essentially the Amazing Race, but Monster Mash, make it Monster Mash. Gareth McGreeve is also a quest for a ring of immortality a wing that grants you three wishes. I can't remember. It's an important,
It's
an important ring. But that is a road trip through the Amazon. We'll come back to jungles later in this episode. Then there's McGreeve.
Yes.
That I do remember because the title of the book is McGreeve.
That's when she started being kind to us. Like, these dummies aren't going to remember.
Lothair,
McGreeve. I was like, thank you, Monroe.
That is not for early consumption, that book in the IED universe, but I really love it. Your mileage may vary. And then there's Monroe McGreeve, and that is the most recent book in IED. And I think that's it, right? Those are the werewolves?
I think so.
No,
those
Lachlan.
Those are the Shifters.
Lachlan? Lachlan is McGreeve.
I guess.
Oh, wait. No, Lachlan is not McGreeve. The first book is a vampire and a werewolf.
Yeah.
Look at us. I don't even remember this series. I spent a whole year thinking about it.
You know, it's been a while. We've had 800 million romance novels between them. Yeah, he's like the king of the werewolves. And then the McGreeves are like,
and he gnaws off his own leg.
What a man.
To escape chains of fire because he sends
his fated mate
on the Champs-Élysées. So this is really, that was the beginning of Jen and my friendship. It was the beginning of this podcast. It's why you're all here, even if you never read those books or listened in the first series.
Right.
This is why you're all here. Anyway, so that is Cressley Cole and the McGreeves. I can't believe that I forgot Lachlan. I'm going to go and, you know, punish myself later.
Sure. Subject yourself to the wolf hologram.
Yes. Oh, the wolf hologram.
Right. Okay. I do think one of the things that's interesting about the werewolf mythology is how different authors do have, like, different little tweaks that they have, right? So in the Cressley Cole verse, it's like letting the beast out of its cage is what it's called. But, like, their wolf essentially is like this.
Like, projected on
them. Yeah, right. It's really interesting.
They're still, like, people.
Yeah.
In this case, men, right?
Yeah. Because
lady werewolves don't survive. It's rough out there.
No, that's lady vampires don't survive. There's a lady werewolf who's jealous of what's her name when she comes and lives at his house. Emmeline. Remember?
All right.
It doesn't
matter.
Well,
maybe skip that part then.
Okay.
We don't know. I don't know anymore. Anyway, we're all over the place here with Cressley. But the point is, you were all with us for Cressley. We'll put the books in the photo array on the website so you can see which of the shifter book, which books Cressley has are shifter books.
Yeah.
And that is it. Those are her shifters. She doesn't do other animals.
No, she has some demons and witches and stuff, but yeah, that's the only
but,
one. Yeah.
So can we talk about the appeal?
Yes.
Of the shifter? Because I do think that the reason why I started with Cressley is because I feel like those were the books that then taught me I loved a shifter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think a big part of it is they always come with a pack. And I feel like it's like essentially paranormal found family.
Sure.
So I do think for me, a big part of the appeal is often like I'm a loner, but now I have a pack, right? Like there's a way in which that's really comforting to everybody involved. I also think that the way that plays out in these books is that like men have friends, right? Like these.
Yeah, it forces men to have a community.
Like a community, and one that's like really like deeply embedded in like the way they operate in the daily world. And I think that that is also, you know, I'm sure you and I have read all the same articles about like men who don't have any friends in real life, like, you know, human men. And so I do. I think there's part of I think it is. Like I when I think about it, like the sort of like watching them like have to grapple with like those relationships is something it's not the main appeal in the romance part, but I do think that's a big part of the appeal to like of the series, right? Like I just want to keep reading about them, right? Like it's a really strong building block for a romance series.
Well, and in a lot of these situations, and this is not just true of shifter romances, because you think about like the Black Dagger Brotherhood, right? Which is all vampires and they all live together. But like the McGreeves all live together in like a clan structure, right? Like I feel like the logical next step, maybe the shifter romance, at least this kind of communal shifter romance, which is what we started to see in the 90s and aughts, right?
Yeah.
Is something that it feels like a natural extension from Scottish historicals.
Yes.
Right?
Agreed.
Where there was a clan and there was a laird and there's all of these packs have alphas and like the alpha's in charge and he, takes care of shows all the young ones how to be.
Yes. Agreed.
And is often like a sage piece of advice for a long time until he falls for his person.
Agree. I think that's a really good point. Well, and then I think just in like terms of the romance, like these are like real alpha-y dudes, right? Like they're
super
like
protective.
Super protective, real warm, but like warm and cuddly. Like, right? Like they definitely want to like lay in bed with you.
Well, yeah, it's like that whole right? like the wolf piece often is like, and then she like scratched his.
Yeah.
You know, they're tactile. They like to be touched.
Yes.
These guys, they like to touch. Like
they're warm blooded.
Like
right.
Every time they touch, like they have to bang it out. It's like they just like.
Yeah. Right.
They're cozy.
Yes. And I do. I think that's a big appeal because one of the things about like, like the triumvirate, right? It's like wolves and vampires and. Like I would say before, like the big monster thing, maybe it's just the two of them. Like those were like the paranormal creatures you could interact
Twilight
with.
Twilight style,
right?
Yeah.
And like you're kind of choosing between like these two very different like archetypes.
Cold versus warm, yeah.
Yes. And I do. I think that's like a really big part of it is like, you know, they have like a den and it's cozy and that sounds nice.
Also, listen, before shifters existed, romance heroes like to smell.
And so, oh, God, yes.
I mean, we know this, right?
It's
like Jamie Green's point about like all, I know I'm reading a romance novel when everyone notices everyone else's eye color.
Right.
Like, yes, but you really know you're reading a romance novel when everyone notices how everyone else smells.
Yes, of course. Of course.
So, yeah, I mean, I do. I think like it's primordial like for the characters, but I think for like romance readers too. Like it just really is. It really hits all those buttons.
This week's episode of Fated Mates is sponsored by Jess K. Hardy, author of Come As You Are.
Jen, I bought this book 2 weeks ago without even knowing that Jess was going to advertise on Fated Mates.
Because listen, I one-clicked this book when I read the back cover of it.
First of all, it has a Kate Claiborne quote on it. And if Kate loves a book, I love a book. That's just how it goes. But more importantly, Ashley and Matthew are our hero and heroine, and they are of an age. They like wore flannel when it was cool in the 90s, probably had a subscription to Rolling Stone, definitely cried when Kurt Cobain died.
Who didn't, Sarah?
I mean, I did. And I was like, I feel this deep in my soul. Anyway, Ashley is newly divorced, and she is really struggling to save her family's ski resort. They have this like cute little ski resort in the mountains, and her credit cards are maxed out, and her cheating, terrible ex-husband is trying to take over the resort because he has plans. He thinks he can do it better than her. And so she goes out and she hires, because she doesn't have a ton of money to hire workers from all over, she goes to a local sober living home and hires all the men who are living in the sober living home and going through rehab to try and, you know, get themselves together. This house is run, or this home is run by Matthew Madigan, an ex-grunge rocker. You know, perfect. I love an aging rock star. And he has devoted basically his entire life for the last decade to like making this home thrive and ensuring that all the people who come through it leave thriving. So he meets Ashley, and immediately, like, this guy who has swore off everything good in the world to like just be a good guy is like, oh wait, I'm feeling feelings.
Maybe he's gonna make her a mixtape, I bet.
Listen, I hope so. I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to. It's on my Kindle waiting for me. So listen, if it sounds awesome,
if you're Gen X and you want to read it, or if you want to see the thinking process of a Gen X reader, if you would like to read a book where every single character knows who Matthew Modine is, I think this is the book for you. So everybody, you can find out more about Come As You Are on Jess's website at jesskhardy.com. And Come As You Are is available on KU. So check it out, everybody. And thank you to Jess for sponsoring this episode. I think the other thing, and like we've talked about this before, this isn't going to be something new that we've said, which is, I know a lot of people do not like Fated Mates, right? Or insta-love. But in real life, people like sort of gauging a romantic partner's interest, commitment, you know, are you reading the signals right? Like, you know, like dealing with like it on a screen and it's like swipe right, swipe left. You know what I mean? Like all of that is so confusing. How do you know if someone's really into you? Well, girl, you fucking know with these men. Like these shifters,
yeah.
they're into you. They're into you.
But also, I think that the struggle that people have with Fated Mates, and we've never done a Fated Mates interstitial either because we did Cressley Cole for 18 episodes. But the thing about Fated Mates that is so compelling when it is written well, the reason why I think Fated Mates is a challenge for a lot of readers is because in the hands of a, you know, lesser author, it's often used, the trope is used simply to say like, well, they're fated and therefore.
Yes.
Right? They're fated on page 15 and therefore, and then there's an external conflict.
Right.
That they have to, there's like a big bad they have to fight. And there's no internal kind of, well, what if, like, what if we don't like each other? What if we're not fated mates? What if we're, so the best, in my opinion, the best Fated Mates books, and this is because I'm a conflict evangelist, are the ones where the mating, the fate itself is playing a joke on them in many ways, right? So like that first, A Hunger Like No Other, that first IAD book, the reason why that Fated Mate structure works is because he's a werewolf and she's a vampire and they are mortal enemies.
Right.
So like, it doesn't matter if fate has thrown you together. You have to, you hate each other.
Right. Well, and I think that that's, like, when I think about, that's why I think, like, the rejected mate, like, subtrope is of such interest here. Because when we read Fated Mates books, like, there's, like, no question that they just have to give in. And with these, like, rejected mates tropes, like, and I've read the ones by Kate Wells. I don't think I've read other ones. Like, they really are like, no, I'm good. And then you see, like, what the outcome of that really is. Like, what happens when you really do reject the person that you are supposed to be with? Like, what kind of betrayal? What does that really look like? And, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Like, the thing about shifters, I think, is just, like, they're sexy, Sarah. It's fine. They're sexy.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
Okay.
Sure.
Sexy. Primordial.
Does it and now I will say though, it's what's interesting too is I think we've sort of so far talked about wolves as the default for like the shifted animal. Mm-hmm. But I think the other really big change you're getting now is like, okay, well, there's bear shifters or tiger shifters or lion shifters or whatever, right?
Yep.
I think that's the other thing you can really play around with is there's one where he shifts into a hedgehog. And, like, for sure, it was, like, an author, I'm sure, it was, like, a dare, right? Like, someone was like, okay, fine. But I do think it's really interesting, too, to then think, like, okay, so if it's a different animal, then, like, what is the outcome going to be? I mean, I think Nalini Singh's plays around this better than anybody, right? So in the Cy Changeling's world, like, there are lots of different kinds of shifters. And then depending on that, like, it is, like, what they do, right? So they're not main characters, but there are, like, rat shifters who live in the city that are, like, information specialists, right? And when I first heard it, I was like, I don't know if I like that because I live in a city and rats are not my thing. But, like, it's brilliant, right? It really is. And then, mm-hmm. you know, some shifters are, like, bigger and they protect and other, you know, so I do think that there's other ways, too, that then you create, like, a shifter hierarchy if it's, like, a whole world you're building, which is cool.
Yep. Also, you can't do this without talking about sex.
Nope.
Right?
Correct.
And I think that one of the things that shifter romances did for us in, like, 2010, right?
Yeah.
Was really unlock some of this kinky shit, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It 100%. Suddenly there were, we were given permission as readers, and it seems so long ago. Like, this is a generation ago in romance, right?
Yeah.
But I, one of my picks, in fact, let's just get into it because I think it's relevant.
Right.
So my first pick is a series called the Feral Warriors series by Pamela Palmer.
Okay.
And let me tell you, when I first read, I feel like this was the series that really, like, opened my eyes to, like, how kinky paranormal
could be.
Could get.
Yeah.
I read it before I read Black Dagger Brotherhood, which was, like, my first, like, into. And the premise is, so it's very cool. There are 13 feral warriors, right? And each one of them, it's set outside of Washington, D.C. in, like, a normal, in our normal time. And these 13 warriors together, like, are saving the world, right? They're, like, keeping darkness at bay. And each one of them shifts into a different kind of animal. So there's, like, the fox and the lion and the tiger and the panther and the wolf and the whatever, right? Like, there's one of everything. There's a viper. And each one shifts into a different thing. And obviously the setup for the series was that there would ultimately be, you know, 13 books or however many books. But the premise is that in order for their full power to be unleashed, they have to have all of these are men, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
we should say before we even start, like, there is a lot of, like, gender essentialism in these books that is sort of baked in, and that's just kind of how it is, which isn't great on the reread, but is there. And so I want to acknowledge it. Each of them are men, but in this particular universe, all of the characters, in order for their full power to be unleashed and for them to be able to, like, channel the Earth or whatever, I forget what they're channeling, but whatever, for their power, they have to have a woman at the center of the pack. And her name, she's called the Radiant, and there's one of every generation. So here's the deal. When a lion shifter, for example, dies, a year maybe goes by where the pack doesn't have a lion shifter, and then a new one is found. And so it's not, it is literally found family. Like, these guys don't know each other
until
they've like awakened as a shifter. So she, though, is the essential piece. Like, they can't survive or thrive without her existing. And she channels all the energy of the earth, right? It's very mystical. Well, their Radiant has died. And so they, and this new, and this, the heroine, Kara, has been awakened as the Radiant in this pack. And she doesn't know it. She thinks she's just like a rando person who lives in Alexandria, right? Like,
well, amazing. I love that.
And then one day she comes home to her apartment, and in her apartment is like this beast of a dude. Like, he's huge. He's handsome. He has a golden mane. What do you think he's going to turn into?
A lion.
His name is Lion. Name is Destiny.
I'm not mad about it, Sarah. Not at all.
And he's like, you're our Radiant. It's required. Like, you have to come with me. And she's like, hang on a second, buddy. What is a Radiant?
Yeah.
And he's like, listen, you're mine. I can tell you're mine. You just have to trust me. We have to go back to, like, the place where all of the shifters live. And on the way back, there's like a little road trip where they go back, and the whole way, like, they're just into each other. They are fated mates.
Yeah.
Like, he wants her. It's like very mine. She's like, this guy's like hot. I'm into it. But what's going on? They get back to the thing, and it turns out that in order for her to be like come into her full radiance, she has to like have an orgasm in front of the whole group.
Listen.
And, like, it's, like, a thing, right?
Of course.
Now, listen, before we I'm going to come back around to this orgasm in front of the whole group. But what's fascinating about this and the conflict of this, because you would think, like, this is what I was saying, first 35 pages, like, they're into it. Like, you're like, these two are just going to be incendiary, right? But the conflict is that once they do this sort of fate, there's a ritual where they claim, like, one claims the Radiant as his mate, and it changes every generation. And he's like, she's mine. I can feel it.
Yeah.
And he's like, and so there it is. They're having this, like, ritual where the claiming happens of the fate of mates, and something, I forget what it is, but something has to happen in order for the fate of mates thing to happen.
Sure.
And it turns out he's not the one
who's
fated to her. And then you're like, oh, shit. What happens next?
What happens next?
And so it's great. I'm not going to spoil it because it's really fun. And if you're going to go read it, it's really, really a fun ride. And of course, like, it all works out in the end. But the reason why I brought this up first, this series, is because, like, orgasms are critical to the plot of this series. Like, she gets wounded at one point, and, like, some doctor turns up, like, some shifter doctor turns up, and he's like, well, she just has to have, like, a super mega orgasm, and there has to be penetration. Yeah. And everyone's like, well, that makes, that's,
sure,
checks out.
Obvious.
That's science. And so,
so true.
But what's wild about it is I actually went to Goodreads this morning to look at reviews of this book, and it starts like there are a bunch of one-star reviews from 2010 of people being like, this book, like, the sex was so weird, like, it was so, like, why were there so many orgasms that were like orgasms as a source of power, like, what is this, like, a real look back into a time in romance. Like, now when I describe this sounds like basically tame.
Yeah, right. Exactly. To, like, sounds great.
Like, whatever's out there now. But
yeah,
it's really interesting. Shifter romances, even more than vampires, in a lot of ways. I think shifter romances widened the pool, like,
yes,
of what we would accept as traditional readers in terms of kink.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point. Well, and I will say, too, like, the thing about fated mates when it comes to sex is it's often, like, you might not have thought you were going to be into this, but you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it, like, makes sense that they would then, that's how it would work out, right?
Yeah.
I've never read those. I'm going to read
them. The real bummer, you should. You would really enjoy them.
Yeah.
And the real bummer about these books, unfortunately, is that the series was never finished.
Ugh, hard.
I think there are maybe five.
It really is such a commitment. I mean, like, these big, long-running, it's really hard to sustain them, right? I mean, I found myself really becoming a fan of, like, okay, there's three or four books, and it's a person who I trust. They write a lot, but, like, this particular series is not, you know, 27 mm-hmm. books long. It's hard to get into those series. It can be. So can I talk about Mina Carter?
Please.
Okay. I would love it if you would. So here's someone who is, again, a very prolific author, but I'm going to talk about the Project Rebellion series, which is, again, only four books. And in this series, the first book is called Perfect Mate. The shifters, and so essentially shifters have been created in a lab by, like, evil government operatives, right? So I was, like, really leaning into, like, the manimal part, right? Like, they just start off as, like, regular soldiers, and that, you know, they signed up for some kind of experimentation, didn't really quite know what was going on. Although it's really interesting because in the first book, the main character's name is Jack Harper. He has been turned into a lycan, right? Essentially a werewolf. But they're also, there's, like, several different types of, like, kind of monsters they're making. So another group of, they're also making bloods, which are vampires. And in this case, there's a woman who's a blood, who's the heroine of the second book. But then they also were trying to experiment with, like, one of these two things, and then ended up figuring out that they could also make zombies, which I think are called, like, RAs, like, they're, like, revenants or something. I can't remember what that stands for. So in book number one, Jack is a lycan, a werewolf. He's been kind of taken captive, and the government has all these, like, holding pens, essentially, for people. And for, like, their different monsters that they're making. And everybody thinks that the lycans are just, like, wild. Like, right, like, they're uncontrollable. Like, they've been turned into werewolves, but they can't work together anymore. They just, like, once they're overtaken by their werewolf at night, like, they just, you know, are, like, they can't fight, like, this new instinct that they have. But, and so he and his crew have essentially been put out to pasture in this civilian hospital, right? And it's like this like hidden wing, and the military has essentially taken over, and Lillian is the manager of the hospital. And she hears this, like, sound coming from, like, this one area, and she goes to investigate, and he's like, it's her, she's my mate. And this book, I'm not gonna lie to you, the whole entire first three quarters of the book is them, like, fighting their way out of the hospital, right? Like, essentially, they know the government is coming to get them. The vampire woman works for the government, and she's coming to, like, sort of shut it down. You know, they're, like, the logical ones. And she's the one who figures out, like, wait, these guys actually are not at the mercy of their werewolfness, right? And so Lillian helps them escape because she realizes that she's, like, really strongly attracted to Jack. And it's just, like, a really great, almost, like, pure romantic suspense, but it's, like, escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Right?
I love it.
Yeah, it's terrific. And I just feel like it's also a really smart introduction to the world, because we get, like, the conflict between, like, the werewolves and the, you know, the vampires, and you know, the zombies and how it all works. And the second book is going to be one of the werewolves and this like woman who's a vampire. And of course, they're not supposed to be, you know, but it was really action packed. And, you know, I also feel like another reason I probably really like a lot of these books is that they are action packed. Like I like a lot of conflict, and these books have a lot of conflict. And so, you know, it's just like,
and it just feels like romantic suspense. You know, when you look at the kind of map of how these, how romance has, what's been up and what's been down over the years, right? Romantic suspense was huge in the 90s, and then it took a big dip. And what we all sort of said, oh, well, the romantic suspense is over. But it wasn't over because it came back with these, like, super mega heroes. I mean, romantic suspense always had super mega heroes, but now it has these, like, literally, super mega heroes. And I would argue that by, like, the mid-aughts, like 2006, 2007, we were starting to see heroines who were equally as powerful. Or, like, in the case of the book that I was just talking about, like, channel, like, required in order for the power to be, like, at its height.
And in this case, Lillian is, like, doesn't really know that she has that in her, but she, like, kind of intuitively knows how to, like, handle the pack and, like, you know, like there's
we started to see, heroines who had chops.
Like, there's a whole great part in here. And this book, I think this is also part of the reason I like the more recent ones. And this is, like, not really a spoiler. This book came out in 2018, so it's a couple years old, but not, like, the 2010 style, where she's, like, their bad guys are coming, right? And she's like, give me a gun. And he's like, no, I'll protect you. And so she goes and, like, breaks open and gets herself, like, a fire, like, a fire axe, you know? Because she's like, you're not going to leave me. And then she fights off, like, zombies with her fire axe. And and that was, I think, part of it is she was not willing to, like, you know, be put in the corner, right?
No.
It was great. It was great.
So I want to talk about Christine Fien.
We should.
You really can't talk about Shifters, I don't think, without talking about Christine Fien. It's like talking about vampires, but not talking about Anne Rice, right? And so I think Christine has been writing for, I say Christine like I know her. I don't know her. She's, I mean, I want to know her very badly. I would think she's probably one of the, like, the mothers of modern paranormal series. Her Dark Carpathian series is often people point to it as, like, oh, like, that's it. That's where it began. And that series is also, it's like vampires, I want to say. Or it's like lots of different things, potentially. But I want to talk about her Leopard series because why not? We're talking about animals. So this series, according to Goodreads, is called Leopard People. But I've always just heard it referred to as, oh, the Leopard series, right? And it begins with a book called Wild Rain. All of these all of these heroes are cats. I mean, they're all leopards, but there are also some other cats that sort of roam around too. I mean, and they shift into cats. There are panthers and other things. And there is, and again, talk about, it feels like, again, these are, this is a Shifter series where, you know, she really set the standard for taking the finger, the of like, you know what? He's a cat. So, like, sometimes he's going to be a cat and sometimes she's going to be a cat and sometimes they're going to bone as cats. And, like, it's just a lot. So just, you know, enter with an open heart. So the first book, Wild Rain, is the heroine is on the run. She is, she's like attacked at a port of call, like near a rainforest in South America. Again, you know, just remember, it's, this is of a time, I guess. And she has to basically run, like, run through the jungle. And Fien obviously has, like, a thing about jungle because a lot of her books are set in the jungle. But all of her heroes are also jungle cats. There's a lot of world building here. Like, you are going to smell and taste the jungle before you leave it. But the heroine is on the run. She's being chased. She might be wounded. I can't remember. But, like, it's not great. And she ends up in a treehouse, a jungle treehouse, as one does. And she gets up there. And then what do you think she discovers, Jen? There is a man who lives in this treehouse. And he lives there with two snow leopards. obviously.
I mean, that all checks out. And
Did you hear about the Dallas Zoo this week that a snow leopard went missing from an enclosure?
Oh, yeah, I did. Did it eat a bunch of people? I hope so.
I don't think so. I mean, don't think it fell in love with a human woman either. Real missed opportunity there, Cloud Leopard fan. So anyway, they found it and they went back into its Cloud Leopard cage. But I just want you to know, in real life, when these things happen, it's nowhere near as exciting.
It's unfortunate that.
For real.
So anyway, so Rio, the hero here, of course, right? He is like, all right, I am going to. I'm going to help you. Like, I'm going to heal your wounds and, like, take care of you. He's, like, often naked, I think, too, because he's, sure. You know, when you shift, you wreck your clothes.
I mean, you might as well just run around naked. What else are you going to do?
He comes with fur coat installed already. So, anyway, and then he's sort of like, hey, listen, you don't smell so right. Meaning, or rather, he's like, hey, listen. You smell real right. And it turns out, of course, that our heroine, Rachel, is also a cat.
Ooh, amazing. Yes.
And so she is one of these leopard people. Her mom has been telling her stories about the leopards since she was young, but like never did anybody suggest that at some point she would become a leopard. You would think that that would be a thing that your mom would like. Maybe drop into conversation.
I feel like it would be part of the,
hey, here's how periods work. And also
just FYI.
Anyway, and it was very fun. And it is very fun, or at least it was when I read it a million years ago. But I just want to say, like, if you're interested in shifters and you are listening to Fate of Mates because you are interested also in the history of romance,
yeah,
it's sort of impossible for you to
not
talk about this without going back to Christine. So I want to just honor Christine Phan. Wild Rain is a lot about a jungle, but there are other books in that series that you perhaps would like more or differently. Or like if you're not into leopards, but you are into panthers or you are into lynxes, she's got you. Just. You got it. It's going to be great.
You know how, even though I feel like I've read everything, there's people I've like never read. And the first time I read a Christine Phan book, it was like 2018 or 2019. Uh-huh. It was fairly recently.
And were your eyes just opened?
I was like, what am I reading? And how has no one ever told me about this before?
It's funny because like in all the time that we did the Cressley pieces, we never talked to Cressley, right?
Right.
And we have really only talked to J.R. Ward in the paranormal world,
Though
I think, I hope very much that is changing this year. Fingers crossed. But I think there is also something, talking to J.R. Ward, what she said in her Trailblazer interview when she said, oh, well, Wrath just came to me.
Yes.
And then all the brothers just came to me. And so I started writing their stories because these were the stories that they were telling me. I feel like shifter writers or paranormal writers have a sort of vibe like that where it really does feel like they're plugging into something really deep in their psyche.
I completely agree.
This week's episode is sponsored by Lumi Labs, creators of microdosed gummies, which deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good.
What is great about these is I have tried, I have like two kind of specific maladies I've tried these for, and it's worked really great for both. One is I have trouble falling asleep, and that has been really helpful to just take one at bedtime, but also I have restless leg syndrome. And so sometimes in the afternoon, that's something that, I'm kind of dealing with later in the afternoon. And I have taken them at that time, and it has been really helpful, too.
That's awesome. Eric said that he's been taking them and finding a lot of focus during the day. So I think depending on what you get from THC in general, you might be able to find a little bit of that in these gummies. I tried them last week, and I was looking for focus, but actually got the sleep.
Hey.
It was awesome. I mean, look,
nothing wrong with that.
Out like a light, slept like a baby. I'm for it.
They do really taste great and feel amazing. You can get them through the mail, which I think is a real benefit, and they are available nationwide.
To learn more about microdosing THC, just do a quick online search or go to microdose.com, where you can use the code FADEDMATES to get free shipping and 30% off your first order.
You can find links in show notes, but again, that's microdose.com, code FATEDMATES. And thanks so much to Lumi Labs and Microdose Gummies for sponsoring the episode.
Okay, so I am going to shift a little to talking about, I know, aren't you proud of me?
I am.
If you were a fan of like Shelley Laurenston, who I think what Shelley
hilarious.
Yes. So I think one of the things about shifter books is they tend to take themselves very seriously, right? And Shelley Laurenston, that is absolutely not the case. Like, they are just really funny, like rompy, like almost like what if this was like less intense?
She's a delight.
Yes, absolutely. And you could check out any of her books. The one thing I will say is there is a lot of really dense like world building and characters like repeat. This is not Shelley. You cannot pick up a Shelley, like book 15 of a Shelley Laurenston, you know, shifter series and kind of know what's going on. Like, just go back and start at the beginning. Uh-huh. But I was really curious to see, like, if anybody else has been doing, like, what I consider, like, sort of funny paranormal, like, funny shifter books. And I found a series by Eve Langlis. I've talked about her before because she had a series I really liked where, like, a bunch of assassins go and live in the suburbs. And in this case, she has a series called The Furry United Coalition. FUC, these are the Agents of Fuck for short.
Nice.
Which I'm not mad about it.
Uh-huh.
And I read the one called Croc and the Fox, which is number 3. And each of these, the titles are like, tell you what the match is, like Bunny and the Bear, Swan and the Bear, right? And in Croc and the Fox, so he, his name's Victor, and he is a crocodile shifter. And he... I know. And I was like, I already love it. It's just like, it was like, it's just like really, it's not silly, but it just definitely is fun. Like, they were just going for fun. He and his team, and it seems clear it was all set up in earlier books, but I airdropped into number 3 here, have like their archenemy is this mastermind who has has a secret lair where they're like, the mastermind is like, experimenting on people and making shifters and etc. So they find the underground lair, and he's an agent of fuck, and he is part of the team, like essentially freeing people and trying to figure out, like, is mastermind in the lair, right? And he comes across this beautiful woman in like the basement of this facility where like kind of like the most hideous like creatures are kind of being held. And she doesn't even have her name. She tells him that her name is Project X081. And, like, she just refers to herself as Project. Because she, as far as her memory is concerned, has, like, lived there her entire life. And she's, like, 25 or 26. And so she's, like, never seen the world. She just has lived in this lair. So, like, he takes her outside and she sees, like, the sky and she freaks out, like, right? And she just clings to Victor. He is the one who is just gonna, like, she trusts him, right? Like, he found her and she trusts him. You know, she's never seen the sun before. Like, everything is just like this, like, I've heard about these things. I didn't think they were real. And so they get back to the office. And they don't have enough. They like didn't expect they'd have like be freeing so many prisoners. And so, of course, she has to go home with him to live.
Obviously.
And he gives her a name. Like, he's like, Project is not a name. We should come up with a name for you. And he like lists off a bunch of names. She decides her name should be Renee. And so Renee and Victor. I don't know why, like, Sarah, this book, like, delighted me. I, like, couldn't stop reading it.
That's amazing.
And so she's like, this is great. You know what? I've been pretty interested in having sex. What do you think? And he is like, what? Right? And then, like, the next day, she goes in and she's, like, telling everybody, like, he won't have sex with me. I don't understand. Like, I thought this voice was called the Agents of Fuck. I mean, honestly, the whole thing was great. And it turns out that one of the reasons she's been in there so long is because she fell into, like, some sort of vat of, like,
oh, sure.
Right? Like, radioactive
something, and it has made her essentially like almost like a super shifter soldier. But so she has to figure out what her shifting talent is, and right, Victor's going to help her, and they're going to pursue the mastermind, and there's like a big bunch of silliness that goes along with it, and it was great, and I loved it.
Amazing.
It was great.
Amazing. Well, since you brought up super radioactive goo.
Yes.
I feel like it's time.
It's time.
Okay, so. And I can't believe you've never read these books. Lauren Donner used to write.
I never have.
I think for Allura's Cave. I think these books all came out.
Oh, man. That's
from Allura's Cave. So,
right.
Way back in the day, you guys, there was a small publisher called Allura's Cave, and they were renowned for writing, like, for publishing erotic romance mostly. But more than just erotic romance, it was all this kind of stuff that traditional romance publishers would not touch. And this was back before, it was right at the cusp of ebooks. And so some people were self-publishing.
Yes.
But it was not easy. It wasn't, the system wasn't structured really for people to just be able to like throw their book up. So you really had to like build a company,
right?
Build a business. Not that it's not still a business to self-publish, but like you really had to do a lot of extra work.
Right, right.
So there were a number of these small publishers who saw the opportunity in ebooks and started acquiring some of this, for lack of a better term, weird stuff. And sure. Listen, I read all of it.
I read Lauren, so many amazing weird things from Allura's Cave.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Lauren Donner wrote a series called the New Species series. And it begins with this like, very, like, almost milquetoast, like a very kind of prim and proper nurse, Ellie,
mm-hmm.
who discovers that the pharmaceutical company she is working for has done a number of illegal experiments.
Sure.
Splicing human and animal DNA together to create...
Manimals. What's wrong with me? I love it so much. Nothing's wrong with me.
I'm not proud of how I have read every book in this series, but here we are. I feel like I can be honest with everyone. Okay. So they all have these names. There are a lot of names here, but the first book is called Fury. And Fury is like in a cage. Like they're all caged because what these doctors sure. have done. Is not great, meaning they've basically said, we're going to splice together, like, it's like cats, dogs, monkeys, and something else. Like, it's like, you know, your standard
sure.
animals.
Sure.
So, and they're like, we're going to splice together, like, this DNA. And then what ends up happening is they create these people who have, like, extraordinary strength or, like, extraordinary speed or amazing eyesight. And so they become like basically super, they are super soldiers, except they are sentient beings and they don't want to be held in cages. I mean, there's a lot going on here. Anyway, Ellie like lets him out because she can't, like she's
she's so soft inside, I'm sure.
Yeah,
right?
And she's like,
it's wrong.
And he like has never been touched by a human that in a way that is soft and gentle. And these books are so kinky and like you just like these heroes are so protective and also like, I mean, visceral.
Yeah.
These books are visceral.
Right.
Like
that's a great
and
word
I think
for it.
That's the thing about a lot of these series is like they feel feelings.
Yeah. Yes.
At an 11. So, yeah, you can start here with Fury, and then they get more and more. Then there are, like, other ones with doctors and, like, they're all different kinds. And then eventually they are given, like, a space.
Okay.
Like, they're basically freed from this, like, this pharmaceutical company research facility, And they are given, like, essentially, like, a cordoned off, like, town.
Yeah.
Called, like, Species Town, probably. I honestly can't remember. This happens later. And then they, like, build a, like, they build a government, and they, like, hire a leader. Like, they, like, elect a leader. And it's really fascinating. What's fascinating is, like, Lauren Donner deeply commits to, like, this is what she's going to do. The government has mistreated these people.
Yeah.
Now they have been given, like, space to create their own community. That community is going to be, like, somewhat utopian in a lot of ways. But,
yeah,
like, there's politics and there's, like, a government. And also, but don't get it twisted, you guys. Like, that's all happening, like, very much in the background, because most of it is just two people just fully going at it for
well,
a full 300 pages.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I mean, there's a
lot of... you all put your headphones in for this one.
I mean,
it's a little late now.
Too late, Sarah. Too late.
I know.
You know what's interesting is I do think a lot of... like, I was thinking about, like, other favorite... I do like the Shifter series where they, like... there's, like, a different groups, right? Like, so I was thinking about... we talked about Thea Harrison's...
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, Dragonbound.
It's a great book.
God, it's terrific, right? And I mean,
that
I know
the hero is the dragon.
Yes, obviously.
Shifter.
But in the world, like, right, like, his head of security is, like, a future book, and there's, like, a Thunderbird or something, or right? So, I mean, there's, like, a bunch of different ones, and I do think that, like, those are pretty fun. Okay, I feel like I talk about, like, super soldiers for a minute?
Give you one more piece about Donner, and then we'll move forward. She also has a series called Cyborg Seduction,
yes,
where all the heroes are spliced with...
listen,
I like those
metal.
A lot.
I like those a lot. You know who...
and then...
keep going.
And that's super soldiery, too.
You know who writes a great cyborg series? Hold on, let me look, because I'm spacing out on her name right now. Yeah, I'll read the hell out of those. I feel like one of the things about cyborgs is they're really preserving the...
it's space.
Like, yeah, right? Like, I like a sci-fi romance.
Cynthia
Sachs. I mean,
Sachs.
It is interesting that these did not occur to me when we did our romance in space books, but these are romances in space.
Yeah.
Obviously, because the science has to be...
right.
Right. Impressive. And, like, all of the heroines in the cyborg series are, like... pilots of spaceships,
yeah,
or, like, space thieves, like,
just
the Lady Han Solo, or a mechanic. Again,
yeah,
gender essentialism.
It's fine.
I'm not proud of it, but
it's, yeah. Cynthia Sachs has an entire series I really like called Cyborg Sizzle.
Just telling me, right, what I need
to
know.
Oh, I love Cynthia Sachs. She writes a great book.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah,
she
has
a whole, like, cyborg... she had some... there's a couple of... at one point, she sort of transitioned away from writing, like, contemporary and just writes cyborgs now. And you know what? You cannot go wrong. Like, just go ahead and sign a form.
Uh-huh.
Literally, book one, the tagline is, half man, half machine, all hers.
Yes.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
I love it.
Yeah.
And they all have names like Rage and Vapor and, you know, Crash. And I like that too. Mayhem.
I love it.
I think was my favorite, Chasing Mayhem. Okay. I would like to talk... I know it's a bit of a distraction, but when we got to, like, Manimal, and then I was like kind of, you know, somebody experimented on you to, like, make you whatever you were. I do have, you know, I'm always talking about Rebecca Zanetti, and she has a whole series where there was someone who was, like, experimenting on soldiers. So they're more like Jason Bourne.
Uh-huh.
But to me, I feel like they are, this is like a similar bucket, right? And in particular, my favorite of this subgenre of hers is one called Forgotten Sins. And here's why. Because as soon as I describe this, you'll know exactly why I loved it. Josie is the heroine. She had, like, a really brief, super passionate affair with this man named Shane. They got married, right? And then he disappears without a trace. Gone for years.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been called to the hospital
Shane has been found and he has no memory. And she's like, great, I'm going to bring these divorce papers right over so he can sign them. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
But you know what? No, that's not how it turns out, right? He is basically like, he has no memory of her, but he knows like she's mine. And it's really, I found it was like a really cool way to explore, I don't know, like the promise of this fated meet is that they'd never leave you. Right?
Yeah.
So then he does. Yeah. How did that happen? Like, what was the cause of it? And of course, he can't remember. And it's great.
The money of that, of this particular setup is they never remember.
Yeah. They don't, right? Like, thing again.
If they did, they wouldn't have left her.
Sure. Right? It's fantastic. And then there was a whole spinoff series, The Blood Brothers. Where, again, there's, like, it turns out a separate group of guys who had also been, you know, and again, they're not shifters, but I do feel like that, like, super soldier vibe is often pretty much exactly the same. It's like the Omegaverse for shifters, super soldiers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really remember loving that book. And so even though it's not quite Manimal, I do feel like it's at least tangentially related.
I do have one where the lady is the Manimal.
Ooh, tell me.
The lady is a Manimal.
She's a maniac. Maniac.
Have you ever read any of those books by Sherry Kohler?
No.
Who you might know better as Sophie Jordan.
I do know that that's, but I didn't know that she wrote a bunch. I didn't know she wrote a Manimal lady.
She wrote a Moon Chasers series. And it is all you imagine it to be.
That sounds right up my alley, doesn't it?
Jen. So if you all are out there and you are Sophie Jordan fans, and we know that there are many, many, many of you out there who are Sophie Jordan fans. Back in the day, in the late aughts, she wrote a paranormal series under the name Sherry Kohler. And this series, the first one, Marked by Moonlight.
Yes.
Claire, the heroine. You're going to love this, Jen.
I love it already.
She is like just a normal teacher. She like, she's just like a normal person. And one day she wakes up and she has gone something because her eyes are now silver.
Ooh.
She's like feeling far more confident in her life. She wants to do it all the time. And her hair
looks great. This is really, that's fair. That's how it should be.
And she's like, has something happened? Like, literally, did something happen to me? Well, let me tell you. Gideon.
I mean, please, Gideon.
Gideon wanders in and he says, well, it's interesting because I'm pretty sure that you were bitten by a werewolf. And she's like, who the hell are you? And he's like, listen, this is very serious. You have been bitten by a werewolf, which means that you are about to turn into a werewolf. And if we don't get this all sorted by the next full moon, you are going to be a werewolf. And that is a big problem because I really like you a whole lot. And I never want to let you go. But I am, in fact, a werewolf hunter. So if the full moon comes and goes and you have become a werewolf, I will have no choice,
right,
but to kill you.
Yes, obviously.
And so it goes on from there. There's a whole series. They are super duper fun. And
amazing.
I think you'll all enjoy them.
I am really excited about it. So I, you know what? I just looked at book number one, which I, of course, managed to buy back in 2018.
Oh, well, there you go.
Sure. Sometimes that happens, everybody. You go and you look it up and you're like, oh, I own that item. I love it. I love it, too. There's nothing
anyway,
wrong with that.
So Sophie Jordan, jack of all trades.
What an amazing thing.
What an
amazing thing. Well,
I do have one more.
Okay, tell
me. Well, because I thought that all of these books that I've referenced are of an age.
Yeah.
And I know we did the monster episode and I know we've done some other sort of books that sort of dance around this world. But I did want to acknowledge, like I did at the beginning, that shifters look really different now.
Yeah.
And they look, for lack of a better term, like softer in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. right? Like you mentioned that there are lots of different animals now.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, the, a lot of the stuff that really scratched an itch and flew in like 2005 to 2015 does not anymore. Like that is like I said, a generation ago. That is like Gen X romance, yeah, right. right? So now we're looking at like millennial romance / Gen Y romance. And shifters look different now. And I want to call out, but that doesn't mean that they don't look great. So I want to talk just briefly. I'm on the record as being a huge Rebel Carter fan. Mm. I want to talk about the Oak Fast Fated Mates series, which begins with the book Barista and the Bear, which nice. I think is an absolutely terrific title because it delivers you, you know, exactly what you are getting when you pick this book up. Teresa Ruiz, the heroine of this book, has just inherited her aunt's coffee shop, and it happens to be in a town where it's like fated mates, like shifters and fated mates are like a thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody around her kind of acknowledges that there's magic and that everyone gets a fated mate potentially, right? And her fated mate, Cash, who is a bear shifter, like a deeply big, cuddly,
nothing wrong
bear shifter,
yeah.
right? Walks into the coffee shop. He's like, you're my fated mate. It's very clear to everybody that they're fated mates. And she doesn't necessarily disagree that she's his fated mate, but her concern is like leaving this to magic in many ways takes the magic out of it. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if mm-hmm. we, like, how am I supposed to just be your mate when, like, we don't know each other and
yeah.
we haven't, like, had any experiences that make me believe in us? And I think that's a really thoughtful question.
Yes.
That, like, it surprises me in a lot of ways that, like, we just never asked it
right.
in these old books.
Right.
But, like, so this book is not a traditional, this is not a romantic suspense. It's very much about like two people falling in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Cash is a real delight. Like he's like just a decent dude mm. who you love. And Rebel doesn't mess around. This is a novella. It's like 30,000 words. Like
perfect.
It's a little morsel of a treat. She's not trying to give you like,
yeah.
she doesn't. It's a very sweet book that it'll scratch a very particular kind of itch for you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just mention then a series that I really liked that has, I guess, a similar vibe, right? The Mismatched Mate series by Elliot Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
I have talked about one of these before. I talked about The Alpha's Warlock. I think now that I know a little more, I understand some of these have these like Omegaverse themes, like there's some nodding and such. But the cool thing about this is they are gay romance, right? So these are also like
great.
Shifters that are, right, like part of the pack. And, you know, like it's sort of like, what's my place in the pack? And it's great. Like, so it's a whole series. I believe that there are. I think Elliot Grayson has written quite a lot, but The Alpha's Warlock is the first book in Mismatched Mates. And if you like that one, you will really like, I think, this whole series. So again, though, like Mismatched Mates or like Rejected Mates, like I do think playing around with this whole thing about like, right, like does fate really know what it's doing is like a great way that this whole subgenre has really evolved.
Awesome.
Perfect. Read some shifter romances,
everybody.
Well, you
know how we feel about Fated Mates here at Fated Mates. I'm Sarah McLean. I'm here with my friend Jen Prokop, who is my reading Fated Mate. You can find us online at fatedmates.net, where you can find show notes and a list of all the books that we talk about in the podcast every week. You can find us online at Twitter. Twitter is at Fated Mates. On Instagram, at Fated Mates Pod. On Tumblr, at Fated Mates. We should say we did talk about some Avon published books today. HarperCollins Union is still on strike.